So Kapila Muni, after describing, responding to Devahuti's prayers, told her to just follow, and even within this body you'll be liberated. And all saintly persons no one can get out of the cycle of birth and death without being conversant with devotional service. And he assures her that if she follows this path, which ultimately is bhakti, then she will become free from all fear. So then, after responding to Devahuti's prayers, of course, Kapila Muni has just spoken and instructed her on the process for quite a while and in quite detail. And then, the Supreme Lord Kapila Dev, after instructing his beloved mother, took permission from her and left his home, his mission having been fulfilled. Because Devahuti was afraid that she did not have the proper association with her husband, who was competent, capable of giving her liberation. And rather, she didn't take advantage of his association. Then he left. He took sannyas, went to the forest, and she felt herself completely bereft, trapped within ignorance with no way to get out. So she, and the arrangement was made by Kardama Muni that she hear from Kapila Dev. So Kapila Dev instructed her on the process of removing ignorance from her heart, becoming free from illusion, and to be liberated, situated in one's constitutional position as a servant of Krishna. And then, having done that, Kapila Dev left home. So then, what happened? What happened to Devahuti? So there are verses here that describe Devahuti's position and what she did and what the result of her activities were. So here the text continues as Maitreya Muni is explaining all this to Vidura. As instructed by her son, Devahuti also began to practice bhakti yoga in that very ashram. She practiced samadhi in the house of Kardama Muni, which was so beautifully decorated with flowers that it was considered the flower crown of the river Saraswati. She began to bathe three times a day, and it describes very interestingly, Prabhupada explains in the purport. Okay. So Prabhupada explains in the purport that Kardama Muni left home, Kapila Muni left home, and Devahuti didn't, because her position was as a woman and it wasn't appropriate for her to just leave home. She needed to be protected in a safe situation. But yet, although her activities were different than the activities of Kardama and Kapila, the result was ultimately the same, because she was following the path according to her position. So she began to bathe three times daily, and thus her curling black hair gradually became gray. Due to austerity, her body gradually became thin, and she wore old garments. And the austerity, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, are basically to take just what's needed to keep the body and soul together, to live on the platform, on the material platform, on the platform of need, not on the platform of I want and desire, but on the platform of what is actually needed. The home and household paraphernalia of Kardama, who was one of the Prajapatis, was developed in such a way, by dint of his mystic powers of austerity and yoga, that his opulence was sometimes envied by those who travel in outer space in airplanes. So the next verses are going to describe the opulent situation of Kardama, which was inherited by Devahuti. And there's a reason why this is described. What an opulent situation. The bed sheets and mattresses were as white as the foam of milk. The chairs and benches were made of ivory and were covered by cloth of lace with golden filigree, and the couches were made of gold and had very soft pillows. The walls of the houses were made of first-class marble decorated with valuable jewels. There was no need of light, for the household was illuminated by the rays of these jewels. The female members of the household were all amply decorated with jewelry. The compound of the main household was surrounded by beautiful gardens with sweet, fragrant flowers and many trees which produced fresh fruit and were tall and beautiful. The attraction of such gardens was that singing birds would sit on the trees, and their chanting voices, as well as the humming sound of the bees, made the whole atmosphere as pleasing as possible. When Devahuti would enter that lovely garden to take her bath in the pond, which was filled with lotus flowers, the associates of the denizens of heaven, the Gandharvas, would sing about Kardama's glorious household of life. Her great husband, Kardama, had given her all protection at all times. So how opulent, how prosperous and satisfying were the material arrangements she could enjoy. Although her position was unique from all points of view, saintly Devahuti, in spite of all her possessions, which were envied even by the ladies of the heavenly planets, gave up all such comforts. She was only sorry that her great son was separated from her. So that was her mood. She was simply thinking about her son, who was the Supreme Personality of Godhead and who had left home. This was actually the conclusion of all the instructions that she had received from Kapila Muni, was that her heart was completely full of love for Krishna in the form of Kapila Muni. That is pure bhakti. Devahuti's husband had already left home and accepted the renounced order of life. And then her only son, Kapila, left home. Although she knew all the truths of life and death, and although her heart was cleansed of all dirt, she was aggrieved at the loss of her son, just as a cow is affected when her calf dies. This is actually amazing. We'll hear Prabhupada's purport. We'll read the entire purport. But it's amazing because when one looks at her position, she was surrounded by opulence, but the two persons within her life that she loved most, her husband and her son, they were absent. So was she happy in those opulences? No. She was miserable. Aggrieved is the word that Prabhupada used in the purport. Like a cow is affected when her calf dies. She was so aggrieved. So 2 points. One was that this grief that she was experiencing in separation from her son was not material. It was not tinged because her son was the Supreme Lord. First point. So there is love in spiritual life. True love, actual love. And the second point is that when spiritual, these emotions of like aggrievedness turn into the greatest spiritual impetus, spiritual power for making spiritual advancement. She was missing her son, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This basically, this point of missing the Lord, missing Krishna, is the essence of the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on how to prosecute Krishna consciousness. It's called Viraha Bhava, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this. To be missing Krishna, to be loving Krishna, and missing him, aggrieved at not being with him, feeling separation from him, brings one into his presence very, very quickly. So similarly, a third point, similarly, any difficult situation that we are in the material world, can be turned around into a spiritual impetus if we are pure enough and if our desire to be with Krishna is sufficient. There is nothing inauspicious for a devotee, actually, in the material world. And for a non-devotee, there is nothing auspicious. Everything, every experience a devotee has, if he is pure, can be impetus for his advancement. But this platform is not easy or cheap. But yet it is a spiritual truth. Listen to Prabhupada's purport. It's very wonderful. A woman whose husband is away from home or has taken the renounced order of life should not be very sorry, because she still has the presence of her husband's representative, her son. It is said in the Vedic scriptures that maiva putro jayate, the husband's body is represented by the son. Strictly speaking, a woman is never widowed if she has a grown son. Devahuti was very much affected while Kapila Muni was there. But upon his departure, Kapila Muni's departure, she was very afflicted. She grieved not because of her worldly relationship with Kadama Muni, but because of her sincere love for the personality of Godhead. The example given here is that Devahuti became just like a cow who has lost her calf. What does a cow do who has lost the calf? Doesn't dance and sing and eat hay in merriment. Bellows in great grief. They bellow, calling out in piteous lowing, mooing, very tangibly so. Cows are very soft-hearted. So a cow bereft of her calf cries or bellows day and night. Similarly, Devahuti was aggrieved, and she always cried and requested her friends and relatives, "Please bring my son home so that I may live, otherwise I shall die." This intense affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although manifested as affection for one's son, is spiritually beneficial. Attachment for a material son obliges one to remain in material existence, but the same attachment, when transferred to the Supreme Lord, brings one elevation to the spiritual world in the association of the Lord. So this was the first point, practically speaking, that Kapila Dev made. He said, what is this Sankhya philosophy, what is this Sankhya yoga trying to accomplish? It is trying to accomplish, on one hand, breaking our attachment to matter and transferring that same attachment through sadhus to the Lord. So Kapila Muni had so effectively done this that when he left, because he was the Lord, Devahuti had so much attachment for him that she felt she was going to die without his association. I was crying day and night and requesting everyone, "Please bring my son home." So every woman, Prabhupada explains, can qualify herself as much as Devahuti, and then can also have the Supreme Godhead as her son. If the Supreme Personality of Godhead can appear as the son of Devahuti, he can also appear as the son of any other woman, provided that woman is qualified. So what is the qualification? It is love. It is prema. If one gets the Supreme Lord as a son, one can have the benefit of bringing up a nice son in this world. And at the same time, of course, most mothers think their son is as faultless and as wonderful as the Lord, but it's not always the case, as it is the case with Kapila Muni. So Prabhupada presents it very, very sweetly. If one gets the Supreme Lord as a son, one can have the benefit of bringing up a nice son in this world, and at the same time get promotion to this spiritual world to become a face-to-face associate of the personality of Godhead. But Krishna is so tricky. We're seeing that she got her Kapila as her son, but she didn't have the chance to bring him up because he left home. But yet, the spiritual truth is given. O Vidura, thus meditating, Maitreya Muni is speaking, upon her son, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kapiladeva, Devahuti very soon became unattached to her nicely decorated home. So listen to this very nice verse, purport over here. We'll read this point we've made a few times, but here it is. Here's a practical example of how one can elevate oneself in spiritual advancement by Krishna consciousness. Kapiladeva is Krishna, and he appeared as the son of Devahuti. After Kapiladeva left home, Devahuti was absorbed in thought of him, and thus she was always Krishna conscious. Her constant situation in Krishna consciousness enabled her to be detached from hearth and home. Unless we are able to transfer our attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no possibility of becoming freed from material attachment. The Lord's devotees, this is the last paragraph of that purport, adopt the devotional process. Hearing about the Supreme Lord's pastimes and glorifying his activities, and thereby always remembering his beautiful eternal form. By rendering service, becoming his friend or his servant, and offering him everything that one possesses, one is able to enter into the kingdom of God. As it is said in the Bhagavad Gita, Tato mam tatvato getva. After discharging pure devotional service, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead in fact, in truth, and thus one becomes eligible to enter into his association in one of the spiritual planets. So then Devahuti began to meditate constantly, constantly upon Kapiladeva, the perfection of samadhi. She did so with serious engagement in devotional service. So what was the result of this? Because she was strong in renunciation, she accepted only the necessities of the body. So she became detached. She became situated in knowledge. Second result, she became situated in knowledge due to realization of the absolute truth. Her heart became purified. Third result. She became fully absorbed in meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Fourth, and all misgivings due to the modes of material nature disappeared. Her mind became completely engaged in the Supreme Lord. And she automatically realized the knowledge of the impersonal Brahman. As a Brahman-realized soul, she was freed from the designations of the materialistic concept of life. Thus all material pangs disappeared and she attained transcendental bliss. Yarhi vavam himni sve prasmin kalamayo ramete gatasam mohas chakra lasti tadovayam. That situated, she became situated in the natural glorious position of a soul in relationship to the Lord. We'll read just a few excerpts from this purport. In Bhagavad Gita it is said, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. This means that unless one is freed from the material entanglement, from the material entanglement, and situated in Brahman, there's no question of entering into the understanding of devotional service or engaging in Krishna consciousness. In other words, to actually be a devotee, a Vaishnava devotee of Krishna, means that we are free from the modes of material nature. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana Sochati Nakanchati. Madbhaktim Labhate Param. Because Krishna consciousness is actually on the transcendental platform. It is executed on the transcendental platform. One who is engaged in devotional service to Krishna is understood to be already realized in the Brahman concept of life, because transcendental knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead includes knowledge of Brahman. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmano hi pratishtaham, that the Brahman, effulgence, rests upon the Lord. The concept of the personality of Godhead does not depend on Brahman. Rather, contrarily, Brahman depends on the Lord. The Vishnu Purana also confirms that one who has taken shelter of the all-auspicious Supreme Lord is already situated in the understanding of Brahman. In other words, one who is a Vaishnava is already a Brahmana. Next, skip one paragraph. The Sanskrit statement, anartinavritti, indicates that this body is unwanted. We're so attached to our bodies. We are humble, obedient servants of the body, but it is not wanted. It is extraneous. Because it's a source of misery. We are spirit soul, and there was never any need of this material body. But because we wanted to enjoy the material body, and this is what was described, the philosophy that was described earlier by Kapila Muni, we have this body because of the desire to enjoy, through the material energy, under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As soon as we are reestablished in our original position of servitorship to the Supreme Lord and the enjoying spirit, that mood is cut from our consciousness. We begin to forget the necessities of the body, and at last we forget the body. Sometimes in a dream, we get a particular type of body with which to work in the dream. I may dream that I'm flying in the sky. Raise your hand if you've ever dreamt that you're flying in the sky. How does it feel when you're flying? I know how you feel when you're flying in the sky. Anyway, it feels quite nice, doesn't it? Wow, what a relief. Moving along in those airwaves. So we dream like that. I may dream that I'm flying the sky or that I've gone into the forest or some unknown place. But as soon as I'm awake, I forget all these bodies. Similarly, when one is Krishna conscious, fully devoted, he forgets all his changes of body. We are always changing bodies, beginning at birth from the womb of our mother. But when we are awakened to Krishna consciousness, we forget all these bodies. The bodily necessities become secondary. For the primary necessity is the engagement of the soul in real spiritual life. And the Sanskrit word prayojan, or we usually look at that word to mean the goal of Krishna consciousness or love for Krishna. That means necessity. This is the actual primary necessity for us. To love Krishna, to be with Krishna and Golok Vrindavan. The activities of devotional service and full Krishna consciousness are the cause of our being situated in transcendence. The words in the verse, Bhagavatyatma Samsraye, denote the personality of Godhead, the Supreme Soul, or the soul of everyone. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Bijam Mam Savahutanam, I'm the seed of all entities. By taking shelter of the Supreme Being, by the process of devotional service, one becomes fully situated in the concept of the personality of Godhead. As described by Kapila, Maguna Shuti Matena, one who is fully Krishna conscious, situated in the personality of Godhead, is immediately saturated with love of God as soon as he hears about the transcendental qualities of the Lord. So Devahuti, these are the results that came to Devahuti. Situated in eternal trance and freed from illusion, impelled by the modes of material nature, she forgot her material body, just as one forgets his different bodies in a dream. Oh, that's purport. A great Vaishnava said that he who has no remembrance of his body is not bound to material existence. As long as we are conscious of our bodily existence, it is to be understood that we are living conditionally under the three modes of material nature. When one forgets his bodily existence, his conditional material life is over. This forgetfulness is actually possible when we engage our senses in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. In the conditional state, one engages his senses as a member of a family or a member of a society or country. But when one forgets all such membership in material circumstances and realizes that he's an eternal servant of the Supreme Lord, that is actual forgetfulness of material existence. This forgetfulness actually occurs when one renders service unto the Lord. A devotee no longer works for the body for sense gratification with family, society, country, humanity, and so on. He simply works for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. That is perfect Krishna consciousness. A devotee always merges in transcendental happiness, and therefore he has no experience of material distress. This transcendental happiness is called eternal bliss. According to the opinion of devotees, constant remembrance of the Supreme Lord is called samadhi, or trance. If one is constantly in trance, there is no possibility of his being attacked or even touched by the modes of material nature. As soon as one is freed from the contamination of the three material modes, he no longer has to take birth to transmigrate from one form to another in this material world. More description of what happened to Devotee. Her body was being taken care of by the spiritual damsels created by her husband Kardama. And since she had no mental anxiety at that time, her body did not become thin. She appeared like a fire surrounded by smoke. Because she was always absorbed in the thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, she was not aware that her hair was sometimes loosened or her garments were disarrayed. My dear Vidura, by following the principles instructed by Kapila, Devahuti soon became liberated from material bondage, and she achieved the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Supasoul without difficulty. The place where Devahuti achieved her perfection, my dear Vidura, is understood to be a most sacred spot. It is known all over the three worlds as Siddhabad. Dear Vidura, the material elements of her body have melted into water and are now a flowing river, which is the most sacred of all rivers. Anyone who bathes in that river also attains perfection, and therefore all persons who desire perfection go bathe there. My dear Vidura, the great sage Kapila, the personality of Godhead, so what happened to Kapila Muni after he left home? He left his father's hermitage with the permission of his mother, and he went towards the northeast. While he was passing in the northern direction, all the celestial denizens, known as the Charanas and Gandharvas, as well as the Munis and the damsels of the heavenly planets, prayed and offered him all respect. The ocean offered him oblations and a place of residence. So, let me just read this short purport where Prabhupada explains about the place of residence. It is understood that Kapila Muni first went towards the Himalayas and traced the course of the river Ganges. That means the source of the Ganges is Gangotri, or above that Gomukh, and then down to Gangotri, and then it comes down gradually and quickly. So he went up there to the top and then traced it all the way, traced the course of the river Ganges, and he again came to the delta of the Ganges at the sea, now known as the Bay of Bengal. The ocean gave him residence at a place still known as Ganga Sagar, where the river Ganges meets the sea. That place is called Ganga Sagar Tirtha, and even today people gather there to offer respects to Kapila Dev, the original author of the Sankhya system of philosophy. Text 35. Even now, Kapila Muni is staying there in trance for the deliverance of the conditioned souls in the three worlds. And all the acharyas, or great teachers of the system of Sankhya philosophy, are worshipping him. My dear son, Acharya is speaking to Vidura, since you have inquired for me, I have answered. O sinless one, the descriptions of Kapila Dev and his mother and their activities are the purest of all pure discourses. The description of the dealings of Kapila Dev and his mother is very confidential. And anyone who hears or reads this narration becomes a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is carried by Garuda, and he thereafter enters into the abode of the Supreme Lord to engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. And the final purport in the canto and in the pastime of Kapila. The narration of Kapila Dev and his mother Devahuti is so perfect and transcendental that even if one only hears or reads this description, he achieves the highest perfectional goal of life, for he engages in the loving service of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no doubt that Devahuti, who had the Supreme Lord as her son and who followed the instructions of Kapila Dev so nicely, attained the highest perfection of human life. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, 33rd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Activities of Kapila, end of the third canto. So as the third canto ends, the fourth canto begins. And if Krishna allows, we will begin to hear that next week. We'll continue. Now, I wanted to read something else. To give us an idea, it was this feeling of separation that Kapila Muni awarded to Devahuti by leaving. This feeling of separation, again, was taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He taught how he showed by his own example in the Gambira, and when he was in Jagannath Puri in the last years of his life, he was always feeling the deepest separation in Krishna himself, in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Radha Bhava Dutti Suvalalikam Nomi Krishna Sarupam. Krishna, having taken the complexion of Srimati Radharani. So Mahaprabhu taught that mood of separation, and also Mahaprabhu, as a great devotee, as the Lord, acting as a great devotee, he taught the mood of separation in a different way too, by plunging the residents of Navadvip, of Mayapur, especially his mother and all his associates from his youth, into great feeling of separation when he took sannyas. So as Kapila Muni left home and left Devahuti to lament and feel Kapila Muni's presence and missing him, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did the same thing for the residents of Navadvip. So I'd like to read not a long section, but a fairly short section of Chaitanya Bhagavat, where it is described what happened when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. Now I'm not going to read the part that describes how Mahaprabhu left, and before he left, in the middle of the night, he didn't speak to his wife, Vishnupriya, but he spoke to Sachi Devi. And Sachi Mata cried, his mother cried, etc. But we're not going to read that. But Sachi Mata remained in the doorway after Mahaprabhu left. So the Lord went away, but Sachi, the Universal Mother, remained still and speechless. The devotees did not know about this. Oh, we won't read this part. All glories to Gaurachandra, the Lord of all living entities. The Lord gracefully delivered all persons, O brothers. Listen to the acceptance of sannyas by the Lord. And by hearing this, all sorts of worldly bondage will be severed. The Lord crossed the Ganga and came to Kantakanaga on that day. The persons who were informed by the Lord came there. This first was Sri Abhadutta Chandra. Who is Abhadutta Chandra? Who is Abhadutta Chandra? Nityananda Prabhu. Gadardha Makunda, Sri Chandra Shekharacharya, and Paramananda Puri came to that place where Keshava Bharti used to stay. The Lord was just like a mad lion with his beloved associates. Seeing his wonderful effulgence, Keshava Bharti, the pious person, woke up. The Lord offered his prostrated obeisances at his feet and glorified him with folded hands. You favor me. You are very gracious to deliver the fallen souls. You can give Krishna my master. The Lord manifests in your heart. I do not want anything except the servitorship of Krishna. You give me advice. His body was washed with his tears of love. He danced and roared. Mukunda and other devotees began to sing. Sri Satchinandana danced, being maddened with love for himself. Thousands of people came there at that moment. All of them were happy to see his lotus face. Lord Ananta cannot describe the wonderful streams of tears that flowed down his eyes. All the people bathed in his tears. All the people chanted, Hari, Hari! Sometimes Mahaprabhu shivered. Sometimes he sweated. And other times he swooned and fell to the ground. The impact of his fall sent shockwaves amongst the spectators. The Lord of innumerable universes begged everyone to grant him the servitorship of the Lord. He held a straw in his mouth. Seeing this, everyone cried and thought over his acceptance of sannyas. They were grief-stricken. They thought, how can his mother live without him? Perhaps this night is just like the time of death. She is pious and gets, and so, therefore, she has gotten this son. But by the Lord's arrangement, her son has been taken away. We cannot remain still hearing this news. So how is it possible on the part of his wife and mother to survive? In this way, the women cried. After a while, the Lord was composed and he sat down. All his associates sat around him. Keshava Bharati saw the devotion of the Lord and was drowned in the ocean of bliss. He started glorifying. The devotion that I saw with you has never been seen with anybody other than the Lord. I know that you are the spiritual master of the universes. No one is suitable to become your spiritual master. I think that in order to teach the people, you want to make me your spiritual master. The Lord said, please do not delude me. Give me diksha, initiation, so that I can become the servitor of Krishna. In this way, the Lord passed that night discussing the pastimes of Krishna. The Lord of all the universes got up early in the morning. He ordered Chandrasekhar to do all the rituals as he made him his representative. By the order of the Lord, Chandrasekhar Charja did all the rituals according to the scriptural injunctions. He brought together different things from different villages which cannot be described. Buttermilk, ghee, mungal, betel nuts, sandalwood paste, flowers, and sacred thread, clothes, etc. were brought by the people. No one knew who brought them and from where they were collected. Everyone happily shouted, Hari, Hari. Nothing was heard except Hari from everyone's mouth. The Supreme Lord, the life of all the universes, sat to shave his head. The barber sat in front of him and cried bitterly. He cried but could not touch his head to cut Mahaprabhu's hair. Nityananda and all the other devotees cried, falling on the ground. Why? Because Mahaprabhu had such beautiful hair and he was just so beautiful. All other persons, irrespective of devotees, also cried. Someone said, who made him accept sannyas? Women cried and gave heavy, heavy sighs. The demigods cried in disguise. That cry reverberated in the innumerable universes. The scene was so pathetic that it could have melted the most cruel heart. This Leela is to deliver the fallen souls. It is the proof that all the people began to cry. The Lord was unsteady because he was overwhelmed with love for himself, Krishna. And incessantly, tears rolled down his eyes. The Lord Vishwambhar said, chant, chant, sing, sing, and Mukunda sang, and the Lord danced. The Lord could not keep him steady. The Lord could not keep himself steady even if he tried to sit. Due to his love, his shivering and shedding of tears, they were expressed all over his body. The Lord ordered everyone, telling them, chant, chant. The barber still could not shave his hair. Somehow or another, the shaving went on and was finished. The Lord of the place in Katwa, in this month, in this place, it is such an amazing place because Katwa is, if there's anyone from Katwa here, don't mind, it's such a horrible place. But in the midst of this horrible place is the spiritual world, the place where Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas, and that tree is there. Under where he sat, where the barber shaved him, and they took his hair and they placed it in samadhi. So there's the samadhi of the hair too. The Lord of all beings took his bath in the Ganga. Then the Lord took his seat. And it is said in the Vedas that Gaurachandra is the preceptor of all. He told something to Keshava Bharati. Last night, in my dream, an exalted person came to me and told me the mantra prescribed for sannyas. He spoke it into my ear. Now you try to understand it and make it clear if this is the proper mantra or not. Then the Lord spoke the mantra into the ear of Keshava Bharati. The Lord made him his disciple through this disguise. Keshava Bharati was very pleased and told the Lord, "This is the Maha Mantra, and it is obtained by you by the grace of Lord Krishna." By the order of the Lord, Keshava Bharati then told that mantra to the Lord. The name of the Lord was chanted in all directions. The crest jewel of Vaikuntha accepted sannyas. He wore a red-colored garment, and his beauty surpassed the beauty of crows or cupids. All the body, along with his head, was smeared with sandalwood paste. He looked beautiful, being adorned with garlands. In one hand, he held his staff, and the other a water pot. He was incessantly overwhelmed with ecstatic love. His face was more beautiful than crores of shining moons. Tears of ecstatic love flowed down his two eyes. His beauty can be described by Veda Vyas. Veda Vyas described his sannyas incarnation in his Sahasranam. The best of the brahmanas made it true. All the Vaishnavas knew it. So in the Mahabharata, on Dhanadharma Parva 149, 75th verse of the Sahasranam, the verse says that Vishnu accepted sannyas, who didn't have worldly attachments, devoted to Krishna, devoted to the supreme sacrifice of congregational chanting of the Lord's name, who defeats the monotheists, who is the recipient of tranquility of mind, and who was the embodiment of Mahabhav from the Mahabharata. Keshava Bharati thought to give a name to the Lord. He thought, "There is no one Vaishnava who is equal to him in the 14 worlds. So I should give his name in such a way that it cannot be found anywhere else. If I give such a name, then my passion will be fulfilled. My desire will be fulfilled. He is a disciple of Bharati, and so Bharati's name is not suitable for him." At that time, Saraswati, the goddess of learning and of speech, sat upon his tongue and made Keshava Bharati speak the proper name of the Lord. He told the Lord, he held his hand on his chest, "You made all the people of the universe chant Krishna and arouse their Krishna consciousness. So I name you Krishna Chaitanya," because Chaitanya means consciousness. "Sri Krishna Chaitanya, all the people are liberated by your grace." When the sannyasi Keshavari told us, flowers rained and a joyous sound was heard. Everywhere a tumultuous sound was heard and all the Vaishnavas were happy. All the devotees offered their obeisances to Keshava Bharati. The Lord was satisfied hearing his name. He is now known as Sri Krishna Chaitanya. All the servitors prostrated before him. The Lord delivered others and so received his name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. At all the times that Chaitanya sports his pastimes and the graceful persons can see them and the other sports that were sported by the Lord are known to Nityananda and Swarup. By his grace, I only write a little in this book. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, "I offer my fallen obeisances at the lotus feet of all the Vaishnavas, so that I become purified from all my sins." Veda Vyas and other saints will describe it in different ways in the Vedas and other scriptures. In this way, the Lord accepted sannyas order, and one who hears it will become a servitor of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One will receive Krishna prema hearing this glorious pastime of the Lord and how he accepted the sannyas order of life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So next Wednesday, if Krishna allows, and by Prabhupada's mercy and the mercy of the kind Vaishnavas, We'll continue with Canto 4. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Kapila Muni ki jai, Devoti Ma ki jai, Maitreya Muni Vadura ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktavinoda ki jai.